Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Anna Carmo at United Nations Headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, two young women from Kenya share some advice for their peers. And a UN expert tells us why only one in five women drug addicts seeks treatment. But first, thousands of Iraqi women and girls who survived rape and other sexual violence committed by extremists should receive care, protection and justice. Furthermore, children born to them as a result of such violence should not face a life of discrimination and abuse. The appeal was made in a report launched this week by the UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR, and the UN Assistance Mission in Iraq, UNAMI. Scores of Iraqi women and girls have been victimized by the terrorist group ISIL, also known as Daesh. They include members of the Yazidi community, an ethnic and religious minority. The women have suffered rape, sexual assault, forced displacement, abduction, slavery, forced religious conversion, and other human rights abuses. Liz Throssell is a spokesperson with the UN Human Rights Office, which is based in Geneva.
UN High Commissioner Zedrad al-Hussein has said that the physical, mental and emotional injuries inflicted by ISIL are almost beyond comprehension, and that if victims are to rebuild their lives and those of their children, they need both justice and redress. The Iraqi government has the obligation under domestic law and international human rights law to ensure all victims have access to justice and reparations. This obligation includes ensuring accountability of the alleged perpetrators through trials before independent and impartial tribunals, conducted in a gender-sensitive manner so as not to perpetuate victim suffering.
The report contains several recommendations, for example, regarding access to justice, provision of support and care for victims, and information and counseling services to reunite separated families. It also addresses the plight of hundreds of children born to mothers in areas controlled by ISIL. Some do not have birth certificates, others have ISIL-issued documents which the Iraqi authorities do not acknowledge. Ms. Throssell of the UN Human Rights Office said this is deeply troubling.
The situation of hundreds of children born to women in ISIL-controlled areas without birth certificates or whose ISIL-issued documents are not accepted by the government of Iraq or the Kurdistan regional government is deeply troubling. Birth registration requires the parents to present proof of marital status, and two witnesses must confirm the circumstances of the child's birth. Exceedingly difficult in the case of children whose parents may be dead or missing, where the father's identity is not known, where a child has been abandoned due to stigma, or for those who live in IDB camps where no civil status officers or courts operate.
The UN Human Rights Office underscored that children born in ISIL-controlled areas have the same legal rights as any other Iraqi citizen. It has called on the government to take measures to ensure these children are not marginalized or abused. They also should not fall victim to discrimination, the UN Human Rights Office added, referring to the fact that the children's birth certificates will include references to their being born out of wedlock or having a father linked to ISIL. Young people can do anything they set their mind to, a delegate from Kenya said during the 20th session of the Youth Assembly at the United Nations. Winnie Michaels delivered this message on the margins of the conference, which was held on 12 August, International Youth Day. Nearly 1,000 young leaders, changemakers and entrepreneurs from more than 100 countries were in New York for the event. Joseph Msami asked Miss Michaels and Miss Tourism Kenya Maureen Soro what advice they had for the young people in their country.
There's a lot of opportunities. There's so much to learn. There's so much to gain. Believe in whatever they want to do, whatever they intend to do. Make good connections and just know where you belong in terms of what you are trying to achieve. And with that, you can do anything you set your mind to do. And I would want to say that they should also get involved with the government work so that they can get access to the resources they need to propel themselves in future. So definitely I'm looking forward to see my Kenyan youth moving forward each and every time.
How about those who are in the rural areas? They don't have opportunities like those in town areas. What's your message to them?
Basically, that's the reason why I'm here, to actually represent the youth who are actually in the village, if I can say, who have no access to better education, no access to electricity, no access to all that. And back home, I realized that there's so much knowledge, there's so much skills that the youth back in the village have. So they just need to know how to work around this knowledge that they have, and we're here to like help them out to be able to use what they have to make their environment or to gain what they need to gain in their own locations.
Maureen Ngoro, she's not just a mayor youth, but she's a Miss Tourism, but she represents Nyamera County.
Yeah, from Kenya.
From Kenya, exactly.
Sure.
So, earlier when you were talking, you told me many things, but you were focusing mainly on the voice, you know. The youth need to be equipped to have voice.
Yeah.
What do you want to say about that?
I was saying that let the youths be a voice to the voiceless, and that is what I'm doing here today. Mm-hmm. For the youths who are unemployed, we know we have around 17.3% of the youths who are able to work but are unemployed. And what can they do to sustain themselves, or rather give them a living back in Kenya today? We know that Kenya has been pointed out as youths having creative minds. You can see in social media, anything that happens, pop, you see the youths creating up something. And this shows that Kenya, we have the opportunity, but what we lack is the platform.
Only 1 in 5 women addicts seeks treatment for drug abuse, the president of the International Narcotics Board, INCB, has warned. Viraj Sumiai highlighted these challenges during a presentation of his agency's annual report to the United Nations Economic and Social Council. Furthermore, he warned that there has been a disproportionate increase in overdoses among women. Women who are addicted to drugs are often ostracized by their family or community, the report found. They may also be subject to violence from partners or family members. These challenges and more could be tackled, Mr. Sumiai told Vibhu Misra, if the stigma associated with drug dependence were addressed.
There is a lot of problem with regard to women and drugs. The first problem is we see a disproportionate issue about women going to a treatment facility for substance use disorder, because we see a figure that just only 1 in 5 of women who addicted to drug go to treatment facility. But in the world, there is no special facility for women to seek treatment. That is the obstacle to women life and also for their family, because women have to take care of their family and their children. So if the government want to look at the sustainable development in the livelihood of their local population, they have to look at this issue also, the right of women to seek treatment for substance use disorder.
Some of the major issues that almost all countries are facing now is the proliferation of opioid abuse, as well as the discussion around legalization of non-medical cannabis. Would you like to elaborate on this?
The over-prescription of opioid medication just occurred only in North America. That is in high-income countries, just like in the US, in Canada, or in Western Europe or Australia and New Zealand. That is the high-income country. There is a problem of over-prescription. But in low- and middle-income country, there is lack of access to this opioid medication.
And in terms of some of the best practices at the national level to control drug-related offenses, what are the best ways that these can be done that uphold human rights as well?
The best practice is that just like every concerned official in the enforcement circle, they say that prison is very overcrowded with the one who incarcerated with drug-related offenses. But according to our 1961 convention, offense with drug-related use, if it is a minor offense, we have a way how to just like not to incarcerate people, and we divert them to treatment and rehabilitation instead of incarceration. This is the best way.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter under UN Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Anna Carmo.